You know, when His Holiness Dalai Lama first said to the scientists that if you really prove something, that what is said in the Buddhism is wrong, I will accept it, I will change my mind. At the beginning, the scientists were not believing it. And they were thinking, you know, these religious people, they can never change their mind. You know, the scientists are very not so nice about the religious people. They think that they can never change. You know, even if you are proved wrong, you have to stick to it. But Dalai Lama didn't have to, because that's the way in Buddhism it was different. Then later on he said, well, in Buddhism we said that the world is black, that's not so finished, it's wrong. Sun and moon are same size, that's not so, it's finished, it's wrong. And they kind of, they're astonished. He actually says that. But that doesn't change anything. I mean, that doesn't shake the Buddhist kind of, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because, Buddha, it's also obvious. If Buddha, even if he knew at that time, if he said, no, the world is round, that would have been everybody would have attacked him on that. And then, there would have been no other teachings, He would have just had to answer that all the time. That's why he didn't even want to talk about, the creator and things like that. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Gospe ko Dalaj Lama je rekel znanstvenikom, ki se pogovarjali, je rekel, če dokažete, da so stvari, ki jih govorimo tukaj v budizmu, kakorkoli napačne, potem bom jaz to sprejel. In znanstveniki najprej niso hoteli verjeti tega, ker so imeli izkušnje z religioznimi ljudmi, da so se zelo oklepali svojih svetih resnic in dogem. Ampak budizem je drugačen in potem so rekli, svet ni ploščat in je bilo to sprejeto, pač svet ni ploščat. Njegov svetov se je to sprejel, ali pa da sta sonce in luna, da sta enako velika in pač se nas ki so rekli, da nisem, so rekli v redu. Njegov svetov se rekel v redu. Ampak to ni česar ne spremeni, to ne vpliva na samo bistvo Budovega učenja. Ni pomembno. Ena stvar je dost očitna, da v resnici, tudi če bi Buda takrat, recimo, da je poznal ta kozmološka dejstva, pa bi začel svoje učenje s tem, da bi ljudem govoril, da je svet v krogu, da bi ploščak, bi ga začel napadati in to potem bi bilo konec njegovega učenja, ker ne bi mogel ničesar drugega več povedati. In to je tudi en od razlogov, zakaj se Buda nikoli ni upadil s tem, ali pa ni hotel govoriti o tem, kdo je ustvaril svet, kdo je tisti, ki je ustvaril svet. Ampak zdaj smo malo zašli.
And if there is one most important thing about Buddhist view, one word, one concept, I think that's interdependence. If you understand interdependence, you understand everything from this point. But then, right view, right thought, right speech, right action. Now these are, about how you act. How I act with my thoughts, with my speech and with my actions. So this is a very important part of the practice, that, and this right view has to contribute to that, has to find out what kind of actions I do with my body, speech and mind brings, harm to myself and others. now and in long term. And what kind of actions brings help and benefit to myself and others now and in the long term. To try to understand that, and then, because I want to be benefited and not harm, and I don't want to harm others as well, so I try to change my way of acting with my body, speech and mind from the harming and negative, what we call negative is harmful actions, to more beneficial and positive actions. So that becomes the most important practice, how we act. How we act not only with our body, but also with our speech and with our mind.
Najbolj pomembna stvar pri tem pravilnem pogledu, če bi spustili v eno besedo, v nekom tep, je soodvisnost. Če razumemo soodvisnost, potem razumemo vse. Potem sledijo naslednje, je pravilno razmišljanje, pravilen govor in pravilno delovanje. Se pravi, to so naslednje osmeročenje plemenite poti. In te se tiče tega, kako delujemo. Kako delujemo skozi svoje misli, govor in dejanje telesa. In to je izjemno pomembno. Pravilen pogled nam pomaga, da ugotovimo, kako svojim delovanjem, bodi si z mislimi, govorom ali telesom, pride do tega, da bodi si škodimo ljudem in sebi, in sicer zdaj, pa tudi v prihodnosti, ali pa kako svojim delovanjem lahko ljudem pomagamo. In ko ugotovimo način, potem lahko spremenimo svoje delovanje, se pravi, spremenimo naše razmišljanje, naš govor, delovanje negativno, delovanje telesa, dejanje telesa iz negativnih, škodljivih dejanj v pozitivna, koristna. In to je najbolj pomemben del prakse. Ne samo kakšno so dejanje našega telesa, ampak tudi kakšno so naše misli in kaj govorimo.
And here, if you can do something good, something positive, do it, but if you can't do something good, at least try not to do something bad. So refraining from being negative things is also good action.
In tu, ko govorimo, če lahko storimo nekaj dobrega, naredimo to. Če pa ne moremo, se posebej vzdržimo negativnih dejanj. V tem kontekstu lahko govorimo, da je to, da se vzdržimo negativnih dejanj, tudi pozitivno delovanje.
And then, if you don't know, if we can't see exactly whether this my action is positive or not, you know, negative, it's not clear, then what should we do? It is said, then we look at our motivation. If we are not so clear about our action, then look at the motivation or the emotion that drives this action. If the emotion and motivation that drives this action is positive, then it's okay. If it is negative, then it's not good. So therefore, we kind of judge, we find out our actions in this way. First, see whether action itself is, you know, is good or not. And if that's not so clear, then look at the motivation.
zdaj, kadar je zelo jasno neko dejanje pozitivno ali negativno, se odločamo na podlagi tega. Včasih pa ne moramo jasno videti, ali so naše, ali bojo naše dejanje pripeljale do pozitivnih ali negativnih posledic. In kaj so vidi takrat? Budismo potem rečemo, da pogledamo, kakšna je naša motivacija, kakšno stanje imamo, kakšno je čustvo, ki nas napeljuje k temu, da bi storili nekaj dejanje. In če vidimo, da je to nekaj pozitivnega, da je naša motivacija pozitivna, potem je to v redu. Če pa je ta motivacija negativna, če se dogaja na podlagi negativnega stanja uma, potem to ni v redu in se moramo vzdržati take akcije. Na podlagi tega lahko presodimo, lahko ugotovimo, bodi si, da vidimo za samo dejanje, kakšne posledice ima, do česa pripelje, ali pa če to ni jasno, potem pogledamo svojo motivacijo pri tem.
Then the fifth is right livelihood, and that is your vocation, your profession. What kind of work you do to earn your living? That's the So we try to, we try to select, we try to find, we try to kind of train in a profession which is helpful, which is something that is useful and helpful to the people. Sometimes people ask me, young people, I want to select a profession that's really interesting. How can I find it? And I've been thinking about it, and I said, maybe that's not a good idea. Because what is interesting now, maybe will not be interesting after all. However interesting it may be, if you make it your work, it's not interesting anymore. So therefore you cannot find something that's always interesting. Then what to do? I said, maybe, if you try to find something that you think is really useful and helpful to lots of people, maybe that will be better for you, because then at least you find some meaning, some kind of purpose in it. Something that I'm doing is something useful, something, that is needed, something that is, beneficial. So that's the understanding, I think, from Buddhist point of view. When we say the right, livelihood, that if we try to, everybody needs to work, everybody needs to have a profession. But if you try to, try to find a work, find, that something that would really be useful and helpful to lots of people, then I think we will also feel much more meaningful in our doing that. When people talk about job satisfaction, sometimes people say, I don't have any job satisfaction. What do you mean by no job satisfaction? I think it means that I'm doing something for which I get some money, but it is useless. It doesn't help anybody. I think that's what you mean by no job satisfaction. But of course, that doesn't mean that you will always find something that is very useful. If not, then you have to make it useful. By being, sometimes it is said, I know a story, very nice story, but I don't have the time to tell you. Do I have the time to tell you?
Peti osnovno rečenje tudi pravilen način preživljanja, ki govori o našem poklicu, kako zaslužimo za svoje življenje, kaj delamo in tukaj poskušamo izbrati in se izučiti in izvoliti v nekem poklicu in to ne bi bil poklic, ki je ljudem v pomoč, ki je koristen za mnogo ljudi in pravi. In pač včasih sprašuje mladi ljudje, sprašujejo in rečejo, ja, jaz bi se prvi izbral en poklic, ki bi bil zelo zanimiv. Pa in pač pravi, da kako misli, da mogoče to sploh ni tako dobra ideja, ker pravi, nekaj, kar je mogoče zanimivo zdaj, v prihodnosti ne bo zanimivo. In v vsakem primeru neka stvar, iz katere narediš svoj poklic, ki postane tvoje delo, lahko hitro postane nezanimivo. Zato je mogoče bolje izbrati poklic, ki je koristen, ki je v pomoč mnogim ljudem. Kaj ti na ta način dobi naše delo nek namen, nek smisel. Stvari, ki jih počnemo, so stvari, ki izpolnjujejo človeške potrebe in ki so koristne ljudem. In to je razumevanje z budističnega stališča pravilnega preživljanja. Vsi moramo delati, vsi moramo na nek način zaslužiti za življenje in imamo nekakšen poklic. In kadar je ta poklic koristen, kadar je v pomoč ljudem, potem je to naredi naše delo nekaj smiselnega. Rinpoče pravi, da veliko krat pride ljudje in pravi, da niso zadovoljni s svojim delom, da ne doživljajo zadovoljstva na svojem delovnem mestu. Ker ti pač delajo in potem dobijo za to denar, ampak nekako je vse skrb neuporabno, nesmiselno. In Rinpoče pravi, da ne moramo zmeraj najti nečesa, dela, ki bi bilo uporabno, ki bi koristilo nam in drugim, ampak obstaja način, kako lahko vsako delo naredimo koristno. In potem je tukaj ena zgodbica, za katero očitno imamo čas.
Ok, I'll tell you the story. Because most people don't know this story, maybe, because I've never been to Slovenia, and so I didn't have the chance to tell this story. It's a story from Tolstoy, you know. And I think it's not one of his, written by himself, it's a folktale that he retold. Said that there was a king, I think in Japan. And then this king asked three questions to his to his court. And these questions was, which is the most important time for me? And who is the most important person for me? And what's the most important thing for me to do? And then everybody gave him answers of their own way. He was not happy with any of the answers. Then he made the question open for the whole country and announced a big reward that whoever gives him the right answer, you know, he will give. So he received lots of answers, but nothing satisfied. Now he became even more interested to me, and he's always fine. Anybody can, you know, answer my question. So every kind of person who is supposed to be wise, they approached and invited him, but nobody could, you know, satisfy. Then one day somebody said, you know, there is a hermit in your country, very elusive kind of a hermit, and he stays in the mountains. Maybe he can answer me. He's supposed to be very wise. They said, call him immediately. No, he can't be called, because when people go, then he disappears. He said, maybe then I go, let's go. And they say, no, no, you can't go like that. If you go with all your kind of retinue, he will disappear. Then what should I do? You should go in disguise. So he went in disguise as a farmer. So he went on the top of the hill. There was a little clearing, and there was a little hut. And then this old man was there, you know, kind of digging his kitchen garden. And then he went there, and they greeted each other, and he said, I have three questions, can you answer them? And the hermit said, what? He says, which is the most important time for me? Who is the most important person for me? What is the most important thing for me to do? He didn't answer, keep digging. So he sat down and looked. And this man was very old, quite old, very frail, and he was really tired. He was perspiring. So he said, please sit down, I'll do some digging. So he took his tool and he started digging. And then it's very, like, long time, now it's getting kind of in the afternoon, late. And then he said, well, I asked you three questions this morning. Do you have some answer or not? I have to go now. And the old man said, now, yeah, thank you very much. You did lots of work. Now I'll do some. So and he tried to take it. And so he sat there, no answer. And now it's really getting dark. So he said, you know, this morning I asked you some questions. Do you have answer or not? Now I'm going. And around that time, then they saw something happening at the, you know, at the kind of forest, head of the forest. And they looked, and there was a man. He came running, and he fell down on his face. And then they both ran towards him, and he was shot by an arrow in his back. So both of them took him in his small hut, took out the arrow, and tried to kill him, and he survived. So they had to stay there all night. And early morning, the king got up and he said, yesterday I asked you some questions. Do you have an answer or not? He said, yes, but I answered you already yesterday. He said, no, you didn't say a word. He said, it was very simple. I mean, you didn't understand. I told you the answer. What is that? You know, the most important time is now. Because there's no other time that you can do anything about. The past is past, the future is yet to come. There's no time that you can do anything that is under your control except now. So now is the only time you really have. The most important person for you is the person who is next to you now. Because that's the only thing you can do something. And so therefore, the most important thing for you to do is to try to help the person who is next to you now. And yesterday, he said, when you can, you know, that was the most important time. And I was with you, so I was the most important person for you. And you helped me to dig the kitchen garden, that was the most important thing for you to do. And later on in the evening, this man came who was wounded, and that was the most important thing for both of us. And this person was the most important person for both of us. And then we tried to save his life, and that was the most important thing for both of us. That's it. Then he was satisfied with this answer. He learned a lot. He went back, became a great king, and ruled the country wisely, and lived happily
ever. To je ena zgodbica, pravim pa če da je vredno ne poslati, ker sem pa če je še videl tukaj pa je še to nikoli povedal. Kratka zgodbica od Tolstoja, ampak ni njegova, ker jo ni on napisal, je pa verjetno ljudska pripovedka, ki jo je slišal nekje in potem zapisal. Govori pa o enem kralju, ki je živel na Japonskem, ki je postavil tri vprašanja svojim dvorjanom. In se vprašal je, kaj je, kateri je najpomembnejši čas za me? Kdo je najpomembnejša usoda in oseba in kaj je najpomembnejša stvar, ki ne jo storim? In dvorjani so vsak po svoje poskušali odgovoriti na njegovo vprašanje, vendar ni nikomu uspelo. Kralj ni bil zadovoljen z njihovimi odgovori, zato je potem ta vprašanja javno objavil in tudi razpisal veliko nagrado, da pač kdorkoli uspel odgovoriti na njegovo vprašanje, dobil to nagrado in kralj je dobil mnogo odgovorov, ampak noben od teh odgovorov ga ni zadovoljil. In zato je postal še bolj zainteresiran, še bolj si želel izvedeti odgovore na to vprašanje, zato je povabil na svoj dvor mnoge modrece, vendar nihče mu ni dal odgovor, ki bi ga zadovoljil. Potem je nekdo rekel, da obstaja pa tam v njihovi deželi nek puščavnik, ki ga je zelo, zelo težko najti in živi na neki gori. In mogoče on, da je zelo moder in da bi mogoče on lahko odgovoril na to vprašanje, na ta dobro vprašanje. In kralj je rekel, super, pokličte ga, ne pride sem. In potem smo rekli, ne, če bi ga iskal, če bi ga poskušal poklicati, bi tako izginil. Potem je rekel, kralj, no, pa bom še jaz tja. In so rekli, ne, če prideš ti tja z vsem svojim spremstvom, bo tudi izginil, se ga ne bo dalo najti. Potem je kralj rekel, dobro, potem se bom pa preoblekel in se je preoblekel in benavadnega kmeta in šel na to goro. In je prišel na to goro, na vrhu gore je bila mehna jasa in mehna kočica in pred to kočico je en str možakar okupal svoj vrt, mali vrt. In kralj je rekel, da ima tri vprašanja. In ali lahko ono govori na to nekaj. Potem je ta človek rekel, dobro, kaj so tudi vprašanje in je pomenil, kaj je zame najpomembnejši, kateri čas je najpomembnejši zame, kdo je najpomembnejša oseba in kaj je najpomembnejša stvar, ki jo lahko storim. Ampak ta človek je naprej kopal, neč mu je odgovoril in ker je bil zelo star in krhak, in je sledal že zelo utrujen, je se kralj odločil, da mu bo pomagal za njegovo motiko in začel on okopavati vrt in to je trajalo nekaj časa, dolgo časa. In je rekel kralj, no, jutri sem te nekaj vprašal, da je že veliko časa minilo, a imaš kakšen odgovor ali ne? Ampak stari možakar mu ni nič odgovoril, ampak je spet vzel orodje in on nadaljeval z okopavanjem vrta, kar se je posedil tam in čakal. In potem se je počas že začelo nočiti in kralj je rekel, zdaj bom pa rešel, mi lahko odgovoriš ali ne. In v tistem hipu sta na robu gozda zagledala človeka, ki je potekal iz gozda in padal na obraz. Potem sta stekla hema in sta videla, da ga je zadela puščica, da je ranjen. In sta mu pomagala, sta ga odnesla v kočo, ga uskrbela in tako je minila celo noč, da temu človeku sta rešila življenje. In zjutraj je kralj spet rekel, ja, včeraj sem te nekaj vprašal, ne, ampak ti mi nisi ničesar odgovoril. Potem je pa ta možata rekel, ampak ja, jaz sem ti že včeraj odgovoril. In zelo preprosto je, temu je razložil. Najpomembnejši čas zate je zdaj, ker v resnici ne obstaja noben drug čas. Noben drug čas ni, kjer bi lahko karkoli storil. Preteklost je minila, prihodnost še ni prišla. In najpomembnejša oseba zate je tisti, ki je ob tebi ta trenutek, ker ti samo za tega človeka lahko karkoli storiš. In kaj je najpomembnejša stvar? Najpomembnejša stvar je, da poskušaš temu, ki je v tem trenutku poleg tebe pomagati. In pravi, ko si ti prišel, včeraj k meni, je bil to zate najbolj pomemben čas. In jaz sem bil oseba, ki je bila ob tebi in si bil najpomembnejša oseba. In potem si mi pomagal in si kupal in so skupaj prekupala vrt. In potem kasneje, zvečer, je se pojavil, je bil pač to čas, ki je bil spet zdaj in se pojavil ta ranjeni človek in je bil on za oba narodva najpomembnejša oseba, ker je bil on tisti, ki je bil v istem trenutku tam in midva sva mu rešila življenje in to je bilo najbolj pomembna stvar, ki sva jo postorila v tistem trenutku. In to je to. Kralj je bil vesel, zadovoljno s vami, da ste imel dogovori, spet je šel nazaj na svoj dvor, postal kralj, in, ki je modro vladal v svoji deželi in vsi so živeli srečno do konca svojih dni.
So, next is right effort. Now, this is talking about how to make the effort and you know, how to work hard. Because when you are training in something, like in Dharma practice and things like that, we can't just, you know, we can't do it with kind of only, what can you say, only kind of pushing. We have to work hard, but we have to learn how to do that in the problem. We have to motivate us in such a way that we are happy to do that. That's why in Buddhism, diligence is described as the joy in doing positive things. So we need to kind of bring the joy in doing that by understanding how necessary it is, how important it is, how useful it is to do. And if we are motivated, then nothing is difficult. If we are not motivated, everything is difficult. Now, if we push too hard, we go the other way. We get aversion to it. Then it doesn't work. So therefore, you know, we have to kind of I usually find, you know, the concept of what do you call it, hobby, very interesting. Do you have hobbies here? We have no hobbies in Tibet. We don't even have that word. So in the beginning, you know, when I was learning English, and it's a hobby. I said, what is hobby? It's a word, but it's not a word. I didn't understand it for a long time. Then I understood it, you know. I was wondering why they are kind of climbing the mountain, risking their life. Yes. I thought it was totally idiot. You know, the hobby can be very hard, can be very expensive, can be even dangerous, still very happy. So that shows that, you know, it's not about the work, it's about your way of seeing it. So therefore the right effort has to be right. To have that kind of motivation, that you're happy doing that.
Pravilen trud, kako se lahko za neko stvar zelo potrudimo. In to je nekaj, kar je zelo pomembno pri kateremkoli treningu, tudi pri praksi dharme, pri praksi Budovega nauka. In to ni možno narediti zgolj s tem, da pritiskamo, da poskušamo na vse kriplje storiti nekaj ali doseči nekaj. Dejansko je potrebno vložiti veliko truda, ampak kako to storiti na pravilen način. In najpomembneje tukaj je, da same sebe motiviramo, da imamo motivacijo, ki povzroči, da tisto, da počnemo z veseljem. Zato je v budizmu govorimo o marljivosti kot sreči ali veselju, da počnemo nekaj pozitivnega. In to pa pride skozi razumevanje, da je neka stvar zelo pomembna, da je neka stvar potrebna in zelo koristna v pomoč. Kadar smo tako pozitivno motivirani, kadar delamo nekaj z veseljem, potem ni nobena stvar težka. Kadar pa te motivacije niso pa lahko, je pa lahko katerakoli stvar težka. Vsaka stvar. In veliko krat dosežemo s tem, da poskušamo stvari storiti na silo, dosežemo ravno obratno reakcijo, da pride do odpora, da nečesa nočemo početi. In pravi Rinpoče, da zanimljiv je koncept hobija. V tibetanskem jeziku sploh ne obstaja, tibetanci ne vejo, kaj je to hobi, niti besede nimajo za to. Pravi Rinpoče, da ko se učil angleščino, dolgo časa ni mogel razumeti, kaj to sploh je. Da so ga, da pač rekel samo, to je beseda, ampak te besede sploh ni. In zato je bilo, pravi Rinpoče, ne, zelo težko razumeti. Dolgo časa ni razumel tega koncepta in pravi, da potem nekateri ljudje, recimo, plezajo na visoke gore in tvegajo svoje življenje, zato ne pravi, ne bo se delo to popolnoma neumno. In pravi, marsikateri hobi je lahko zelo težek, naporen, lahko je lahko porabimo veliko denarja in lahko je tudi nevaren za naše življenje. In vendarle, ko to počnemo, smo srečni. In to kaže na to, da v resnici ni bistveno to, kaj delamo, ampak kako vidimo to stvar, ko jo delamo. In pravilen trud je ravno to, da smo veseli, ko nekaj počnemo.
And then the seventh is right mindfulness. And mindfulness is the tool with which we do any kind of practices. Actually, we don't have any other tool than that mindfulness for meditation or any kind of Dharma practice. Only tool we have is the mindfulness. So what is mindfulness? Mindfulness is that we are aware what's going on. What is going on in my thoughts and emotions, what's going on in my actions, with speech and in the body, exactly what's going on in me and around me, to be aware of that. But not just that. Aware of what's going on and at the same time remember what to do. Remember what to do at that time. If I have that, then I have mindfulness. So therefore, you know, if we have mindfulness, then that's the practice. We use that. So therefore, sometimes I say, you know, when people say that I have no time to practice that, I said, do you have time to get angry? Do you have time to be upset? Do you have time to be hurt? Then you have time to practice. Because whatever is happening, when you are stressed, when you are angry, when you have negative emotions, when you are kind of upset, and all this, you know, things happening, that time to remember what to do. That's Dhamma practice. So you don't need a kind of long time from off your whatever you are doing. It's not that, you know, oh, now I have to practice Dhamma and lock up everything, ta-ta, bye-bye, and I have to practice. It's not like that. You know, you just use your awareness, your mindfulness, and your whatever you have learned, you know, from your understanding, to apply that on yourself at that time when you need it. So it's not about time, it's about discipline, and, you know, whether you actually put it into action, what you understand or not. If we can do that, then we are practicing. If we don't do it, then we are not practicing. So therefore the mindfulness is the most important.
Следующая серия. Седмичная пробивна позорност. И то е наше главно уродие за практика даване. В бисо ни любенега друга уродие. Кај е пробивна позорност? Но само то да се заведамо тега кар се догаја, кар се догаја в наших мисли, кар се догаја в нашими чувстви, kako delujemo s svojim govorom, s svojim telesom, kaj se dogaja znotraj mene, kaj se dogaja zunaj mene. Ne samo to, da se zavedam, ampak da se obenem tudi spomnim, kako se odzvati na to, kaj se dogaja, kaj moram storiti v danem trenutku. Če imam to, imam, potem imam pravilno pozornost. In to je vsa praksa, da uporabim to zavedanje. In včasih ljudje pridejo in rečejo, in počejo, da nimajo časa, da bi prakticirali davno, da bi sledili podobnem nauku. In potem jih nekaj vprašajo, imate čas, da se razjezite, imate čas, da se razburite, imate čas, da se počutite prizadeti. Če imate čas za vse to, potem imate tudi čas za to, da prakticirate davno. In ko smo pod stresom, ko smo jezni, ko nas preplavljajo negativne čustva, če se takrat spomnimo, kako se odzvati na to, potem je to dan, to je praksa dan. In to ne pomeni, da moramo se vzeti veliko časa in prekiniti svojimi običajnimi dejavnostmi, da moramo zakleniti svoje stanovanje in oditi. Vse, kar potrebujemo, je to, da se zavedamo. Uporabimo naše zavedanje, našo pozornost, naše razumevanje darme in da to dejansko, ko je potreba v dani situaciji, udejanjimo, uresničimo. In tukaj ne gre za to, da bi zato rabili čas, ampak rabimo disciplino. Skratka, moramo biti dosledni in svoje razumevanje nekako preliti v svoje razumevanje preliti v vsakodnevno življenje in če storimo to, potem je to praksa. Potem je to praksa dharme in zaradi tega je pravilna pozornost najbolj pomembna.
Then the last one of the Eightfold Path is the meditation. Basically, meditation is to make yourself familiarized with it. To kind of whatever practice, you just make that again and again so that you become really familiarized with it. If you meditate on compassion, it means that you feel compassion again and again and again, and so that it becomes your kind of your habit. Immediately you feel compassion. Because whatever you exercise, that becomes stronger. If I exercise this, this becomes stronger. If I exercise this, this becomes small. Sometimes you have different size of your arms. So, therefore, if you exercise feeling, you know, feeling compassion, feeling, you know, peace, feeling settled, then that becomes small. If you exercise feeling all the negative emotions, all the problems, all the, you know, disturbance, that becomes more strong. So therefore, you know, we need to train on it. So meditation is about that. Then slightly different kinds of meditation, you know, this kind of, you know, making our mind concentrated on that, learning our mind to be more clear and more calm, more kind of flexible. Sometimes we call it tanning the mind. That includes the compassion, you know. Just now, tanning the mind means that, you know, if you want our mind to concentrate on this, on flower, then it does concentrate on this. If I say no, it just think about something else, it does think. If I say no need to think about anything, just be quiet, just be quiet. But our mind is not like that now. Our mind at the moment is monkey mind. We say don't go and it will go. We say don't think and it will think. We say think about this, it doesn't think. That's exactly what we don't want it to do. That's untamed. So the meditation is to make it more tamed, make it more flexible. You know, like whatever we want to do, ask it to do, it does that. So that's one side of the meditation. Sometimes we call it samadhi. Another type of meditation is like what we said before, understanding the nature of things. See exactly how the things are. That's the wisdom meditation, vipassana meditation. So all meditations kind of included in these two. The compassion is also a habit, so therefore it is, you can include it within this. Any kind of, you know, training, familiarizing with it, that's the meditation. So meditation can be of many different kinds and many different levels and things like that. So this is a kind of of course meditation is a very important part of the Buddhist training, but it's not everything. Sometimes people think Buddhism, meditation. You see, yes, that's one of the most important things, but there are all these other seven, which is equally important.
U žaka, zadnjih členov smo začeli tudi je meditacija. Pravzaprav to pomeni, da nekaj res dobro spoznamo, da postanemo domači. In karkoli že vadimo in to ponavljamo, potem nam to postane res blizu, postane del nas. In recimo, če bi meditirali o sočutju, bi ponovno bi začutili ta občutek in potem pa postane navada, spontano začutimo sočutje. In to je vaja, kot vsako stvar lahko zvadimo, je tudi to samo vaja. Neka stvar, ki jo vadimo, postane, s časom okrepi, postane močna. In, naprimer, bi če pokazal primer, da če treniram desno roko, potem dobim lahko velike mišice na desni roki, treniram levo roko, postane velike mišice na levi roki. In časih nimamo enako velikih mišic na desni pa levi roki. In ravno tako je z чутенням сочуття, з чутенням міру в уму, чи бомо то вадили, чи самого з тим чутком спознавали болим боль, потім наш ум поставив зміри боль так. Чи бомо по другій стороні тренували в тим, де смо зміри по негативним стані уму, де усот видимо проблеми, де смо як напрей взнемірені, in da potem bo um postal močen na ta način, v tej negativnosti. Skratka, meditacija pomeni trening, vadbo. In obstajajo različne vrste meditacije. Lahko se osredotočimo na določeno stvar in to je meditacija, s katero se naučimo naš um umiriti, se naučimo, da naš um postane jasen in voljan. Včasih se uporabi izraz, da ukrotimo svoj um. In sočutje je tudi del tega treninga. Kaj pomeni ukrotiti um? Recimo, ali poče pravi, če se osredotočim na rožo, potem um ostane tam, razmišlja o roži. Če se nočem osredotočiti na rožo, potem pusti rožo na miru. Če hočem, da se popolnoma umiri in ni v njem nikakršnih misli, potem se umiri in je tiho. Ampak naš um v tem trenutku ni tak. Naš um skače naokoli kot kakšna opica. Kako bi mu rekli, opičji um. Če mu rečemo, ne razmišljaj o tem, ne pojdi tam in potem gre ravno ta. Ne razmišljaj o tem in začne razmišljati ravno o tej stvari. Če se hočemo osredotočiti, razmišljati o nekih stvari, ne bo hotel tega početi. Zmeraj naredi točno nasprotno od tistega, kar mi hočemo od njega. In trening je potem, se sestoji v tem, da je naš um bolj vključen, da postane voljan, da naredi tisto, kar hočemo od njega. In to je ena vrsta meditacije, ki se imenuje šamata. Potem druga oblika meditacije je pa razumevanje, kako stvari so, razumevanje resnične narave vseh stvari. In ko vidimo, kako stvari dejansko so, se to imenuje vipassana meditacija. In vse vrste meditacije so vključene v te dve kategoriji, šamata in vipassana. Tudi sočutje neke vrste navada, nekaj, kar lahko vzgodimo in je lahko del šamata meditacije. Obstajajo različni načini meditiranja in različni nivoji meditacije in meditacija je dejansko zelo pomemben del budistične poti, ni pa to vse. Včasih rečejo ljudje, tako je avtomatsko mislijo, budizem, aha, meditacija, ampak seveda obstaja tudi tukaj je še teh ostalih 7 členov plemenite v smeru učenja poti.
I think I will stop here because I was supposed to talk about how to generate compassion from Lojo, but we are going slow anyway, you know. But I had to finish yesterday, I finished today. So I have to finish today, I will finish tomorrow.
Oziroma se bomo ustavili z učenjem, danes ne bi bila tema učenja, kako vzgojimo sočutje. Ločen.
Ti si še ločen.
Tomlen?
Tomlen.
Učili ne bi se operacije Tomlen, ampak pravi, da smo danes končali tisto, kar smo začeli včeraj, in pravi, da jutri bomo pokončali to, kar ne bi počeli danes.
So, any questions so far?
Kakšno vprašanje do zdaj?
I have one question from Peter that he asked yesterday.
Je bilo pa čeprav, da ima eno vprašanje, ki je Petr pisal včeraj.
He asked me.
I have a new one.
You don't want me?
The new one?
You want me to answer the new one first?
Yes.
Okay.
It's longer and more difficult. When you are in love, you get these butterflies in the stomach. This feeling. And later, then these butterflies go away. But then you meet another girl and you are in love again. And you get again these butterflies. And my question is, are these the same butterflies?
I think I'm not the person you can ask. I have so far never had this butterfly.
I'm
looking forward.
Ker se pojavlja, če da si zarubljen, če kam grejo, pa če so isti, kadar se zarubljaš v naslednjo osebo, prav lepo, če da ni prava oseba, da bi ga sprašovali, ker še nikoli ne imel teh metuljčkov, ampak da ga pa zanima, da se veseli.
Butterfly? How do you feel butterfly in your stomach? Okay.
Sorry, Ruche, I have a question. It is the Eightfold Noble Path. It covers entirety of human condition. So it starts with the right view, and it comes, or let's say, the other end would be the meditation. Although these two aspects seem to be quite on the extremities, inside, I don't see they're so far away. So, would you say something about the parallels, the similarities, or their how they come together, actually?
You mean view and meditation?
Yeah, because they are on the beginning of the path would be the...
No, it's not like one is beginning and one is end.
I know, so I say this is aspect.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, view and meditation has to come together. Yeah.
Yeah, would you please say something about this perspective of looking at meditation and the view? Mm.
Sometimes, you know, eight fold path, if it is too difficult to remember all eight, then we combine and kind of concentrate it to three things. View, meditation and action. So it can be kind of categorized into these three. Now the view, we discussed, this is the way we see things. And meditation is to make that view experiential. That's meditation. To make that view is the understanding. And that understanding, if we can make it our own experience, that's meditation. And meditation is very much connected with the view. It's a way of training the view become our way of being. And when that happens, then we, all our actions, all our reactions are kind of happens within that view and meditation experience. Then it becomes the right action. So therefore, you know, view meditation action. It's kind of, it's not, all these things are not different things, you know. It's different aspects of the same thing, our own. So if we, but this is why it's categorized into these different sections, because we need to work on all these aspects. Because if you only do one thing, like meditate, you know, if you just kind of sit there, meditate, and I think that I'm doing really great, and if I neglect others, then I don't progress very much. So in the same way, if I only concentrate on view and not meditate, also doesn't work. If I only concentrate on some action but not the other two, also. So we need to, you know, kind of try to focus all on three as one thing, and then it's a kind of a overall, all kind of thing. So that's important.
Mlademo vprašanje je bilo, če počnemo se delo, da sta pravilen pogled in meditacija na treh, da ste si narazni za tebi, ampak vi pa ti pravi, da mora meditacija in pogled morate zmeriti priti skupaj. In kater, da ni pa če pravi, če si ne moramo zapomniti vseh teh osmih členov, potem včasih združimo te člene v tri kategorije, in sicer v pogled, meditacijo in delovanje ali akcijo. In pogled je način, kako vidimo stvari, in meditacija je, kako ta pogled, to razumevanje spraviti v dejansko izkušnjo, da to postane dejansko izkušnja v našem življenju. In se pravi, ko treniramo z meditacijo, potem ta pogled postane način, kako smo, dejansko postane del, nas potem postanemo to. To ni samo intelektualno razumevanje. In potem, kot posledica tega, postane vsa naša dejanja, vse naše reakcije, pravilne, neko pravilno delovanje in se zdaj dogaja v kontekstu tega razumevanja, ki je postala dejanska izkušnja. In zato pravi Rinpoče, da te tri stvari niso različne, pogled, meditacija in delovanje niso različni. So vse gre za aspekte iste stvari. Zakaj so kategorizirani, zakaj so razdeljeni na te tri aspekte, ker moramo delati na vsakem, ampak če bi recimo samo meditirali, če bi se osredotočali samo na meditacijo in bi zanemarili ostalega, potem ne bi mogli napredovati, ali če bi se osredotočali samo na pogled, na razumevanje, potem tudi to ne bi delovalo. Pozornost ali pa osredotočenost je na vse tri kot eno. In to dojeti, da to zajema našo celostno izkušnjo in pomembno.
According to my understanding, all these eight parts are easier if you are aware of it. Awareness being here and now. So it's about, the question is about tools to expand awareness.
Right.
How to expand the awareness here and now.
This way. This way.
Can you say something about tools, how to expand?
Oh,
tools to expand.
Mindfulness. Yeah, that's, usually we say that.
But
there are different levels of awareness. So somebody may think that he is mindful, but it's actually not.
Yeah, there is many degrees of being mindful, there is many degrees of being aware. But we have to start where we are. Yeah? So we try to be a little bit more what can you say? We need to look, you know, look at what's happening. Yes? What's happening in me, with my emotions and thoughts and things like that. Be aware of around me, you know, what I'm doing and what my actions are affecting others. So I think this is the, you know, to try to kind of train again and again to just be aware. You know? And that training is also to do with meditation. And this is why I said in the beginning that it's very interrelated. You know? The meditation is a training to be aware, isn't it? That, you know, that you are not distracted, that you are not totally kind of everywhere and not here. Mm. So therefore, you know, sometimes they say the kind of the way to train your mind to meditate is to bring your body to the seat, to bring your mind to your body, and to bring ease into your mind. So I think a little bit like the bring your mind to the body is something important. Because when your mind is everywhere, that means distracted. When your mind is here at this moment, I feel what I feel now, I see what I see now, I hear what I hear now, then I'm a little bit more aware. So, meditation is a training to be aware. But awareness is the way you do meditation. You know? So it's a little bit interrelated.
Vprašanje je bilo, kakšno orodje lahko uporabimo za to, da bi povečali naše zavedanje. In nekaj, če govorim potem s pozornostjo. In se tudi obstaja mnoge razne stopnje in boji pozornosti in zavedanja. Ampak začeti moramo tam, kjer smo, v tem trenutku. Moramo pogledati, kaj se dogaja. Kaj se dogaja z nami, kaj se dogaja našem umu, našim čustvi, mislim in tako naprej. In pogledati, kaj se dogaja okoli nas, kakšne so posledice naših dejanj. Kako učinkujemo na druge, na okolico in to v bistvu pomeni, da treniramo znova in znova zavedanje in to je meditacija. Rinpoče pravi, da se te dve stvari povezane. Se pravi, ko meditiramo, treniramo zavedanje in ko se zavedamo, to v bistvu meditacija. Meditacija pomeni, da nismo raztreseni. Kdaj smo raztreseni, kadar nismo tukaj, kadar nismo prisotni. In en način, kako je opisana meditacija, kako je razložen trening uma, je, da najprej pripeljamo telo na meditacijsko blizino, potem pripeljamo um v telo in potem pripeljamo mir v um. In Rinpoče pravi, da način, kako lahko treniramo, je to, da pridemo nazaj tukaj, da pripeljamo um v telo, da nismo raztreseni, da ni um povsod na okoli, da ko gledam, vidim to, kar vidim zdaj, ko poslušam, slišim to, kar slišim zdaj. In na ta način se potem bolj zavedam, se pravi, povezan, soodvisnost. Trening zavedanja pomeni по нашей медитации добрым, когда медитируем в течение какого-то времени.
One great master says that when you wake up in the morning, you have to wake up smiling. Yeah? And think that, you know, I have this very nice day forward to look forward to. And in this day, I would like to live as best as I could. So you smile. And he says you need to have something to remind you of that. You know, as soon as you wake up, there should be something that to remind you of that, that you don't forget to smile. So sometimes these kind of things, like a bell ringing, or, you know, in this Vietnamese master called Thich Nhat Hanh. I heard that in his place, in his kind of monastery village, they made a rule that when there is a telephone ring, then that becomes a kind of a reminder. So when a telephone rings, you have to say, "Oh, telephone ringing." Then, yes, telephone is ringing. Now I'm walking towards it. My right foot, my left foot. I'm aware. But they say that most of the time when you reach there, the rhythm stops. So maybe you have to do a little bit more quickly.
Иначе, правда, иногда их мойстер, или куда, если сбудим его на утро, если можно разбудиться на смехом, если веселить, лето гадневок и пред нами, как и та там, по-моему, прижили на наиболее мощный машин. И за то, да би се спомнили тега на смешка, равно, да не би позабрани, тази на смешек, равно нек попълник.
I don't know what you said after, like, you said some word, but I didn't hear it really. You said after we need some reminder?
Ring bell.
Our ring bell.
Yeah? I forgot what I said.
Before you started talking about Thich Nhat Hanh, you said you need some reminder, and then you said one word, but I didn't hear it.
Yes, something to remind ourselves. Yeah.
Reminder.
Reminder, some reminder like a bell. Oh, okay. That reminded me of the telephone.
Скратко, неки таски, recimo, как звонение звончка, да. Но зутрин, потом се па, Римпоче прави, спомнам, како са в баси, скупности вьетнамского мойстра Thich Nhat Hanh. So imeli eno pravilo, da kadarkoli zazvonil telefon, je bil to za njih ta opomnik, da morajo biti, da se morajo zavedati in biti pozorni. In potem so začeli biti pozorni na vse, kar so počeli in so najprej rekli, telefon zvoni, telefon zvoni. In zdaj bom šel proti telefonu in potem, premaknil sem levo nogo, premaknil sem desno nogo, dvignil sem slušalko, skratka. Ponovat so rekel, da prej niso prišli do telefona in še nekdo zvoni. Tako da mogoče je treba včasih malo hitre pospešiti cel
svoj. I have a question. In Christian society, like in Europe, in Christian society, in Europe, there is a very present expression feeling of guilt. And around this, it seems like that there is a program that there is this sin, you need to feel guilty, and then there is a punish, and then it's like a program. And I wonder if you have a concept of guilt, of feeling guilty in Buddhist societies. Does this exist in? Is it easier to live in Buddhist societies? Because you know this.
Actually, the Buddhist societies have, you know, the problem of not feeling that. You know, therefore they have to be reminded. I really think so. There is no guilt feeling. It's not guilt feeling. So we have to say that we have to be careful, you know. We have to be more conscientious. We have to be more, and we have to kill them. But there is this thing from Buddhist way of seeing, you know, you have to acknowledge the negative things. You have to regret it. But purifiable. All negative deeds from Buddhist point of view is purifiable without getting punished. So therefore, no need to feel too guilty. But have to kind of, you know, acknowledge it and can do, have to do something about, you know, purify it. That's important for Buddhist point of view.
I see it's better to say that we talk about responsibility for what we do.
Yeah. Exactly.
But because actually I feel that there is some misuse in Europe about, in Christianity, about feeling of guilt. And since there is so many millions of people, let's say out of 400 million in Europe, about 200 are Christianity, and all these people are actually creating the energy field for, and this makes for all others more difficult to go through, because this is very so.
I think the main thing is that in Christianity, if you do something sin, that means finished. You know, it's kind of bad all the time. You know, like from Buddhist point of view. You make a negative deed, it can be, they say like this, this is what is usually said. A negative deed has no positive things except one, that it is purifiable. So there is, you know, the negative deed is purifiable, that's from Buddhist point of view. That's why, you know, you have to feel responsible, you have to feel, you know, regret, you have to purify it, change it, but you don't have to feel kind of guilt that it's kind of, it's all the time there. That not.
Ja, se vprašanje bo glede občutka krivde, ki se pojavlja v zahodnoevropski krščanski kulturi, ki je nekako povezano s grehom in kaznjo. In vprašanje bolj, če je kaj podobnega tudi v budizmu. Vem pa, če pravi, da probleme mogoče v budističnih skupnosti, da se še premalo tega občutja, da morajo včasih se opomeniti, da so bolj pozorni, da so bolj previdni, da ravnajo bolj v skladu z vestjo, ker ne poznajo tega koncepta. Seveda treba prepoznati negativne dejanja, negativnosti in pomembno je, da jih obžalujemo, ampak vse to se da prečistiti po budističnem razumenju, po pojmovanju. In te negativne dejanjem ne sledi kazen po neki nujnosti, ampak se jih da prečistiti. In zato ni nobene potrebe, da bi se človek počutil krivega ves čas, pa da bi bil premočen ta občutek krivde. Skratka, prepoznati moramo negativne dejanja ali pa negativnosti in nekaj storiti za to, da jih prečistimo. Potem je prišel do debate v smislu, da je mogoče odgovornost boljše, boljša beseda kot občutek krivde. Še omenjeno je bilo, da je v naši kulturi pač zlorabljen ta pojem, koncept krivde. Rinpoče pravda, po njegovem razumevanju, je pač z grehom tako, da enkrat, ko je storjen, je konc. Medtem, ko v budističnem pojmovanju je pač v negativnosti ni nič pozitivnega, ampak eno stvar je pa pozitivno in to, da jo lahko prečistimo. Torej, moramo imeti ta občutek odgovornosti in kadar nekaj storimo narobe, moramo to obžalovati in nekaj spremeniti okoli tega, se počistiti to negativno dejanje, ampak ni to nobene potrebe, da bi se potem, ko je to enkrat narejeno, počutili še naprej krive in to nosil sami.
I have a question about it's regarding devotion and the in doubt. I got into Buddhism because I found finally teachers practicing what they preach. You were able to feel this, their truthful and so on. But then when you spoke before about this provisional teaching, I wondered if there is something also in the Tibetan lineage teaching, is there also something like that, or it's only in the historical, what to do with doubt here, because their things are pretty complex, and you got these deities that you are not able to experience yet, and so I wanted you to talk a little bit about how to approach when you don't have the wisdom and maybe realizations, and you receive these teachings that are maybe not so on a physical level. The sun is the same size as the moon, or
all our methods. Mm-hmm. So you need to understand that. I mean, everything is even provisional. The teachings are methods. You know, it's not bad, it's good. You know, it's a way to train yourself. You know, so all teachings are like that. You know? So it has its own use at that time. You know? So therefore, if you use it in a proper way, it will be useful. But every method is not necessarily usable by everybody. If you don't understand it, then it might not help you very much. So if you see it as a method, then there's nothing very much to have any doubts about. Mm.
Vprašanje je bilo, kar se tiče predanosti in pa dvoma, in da recimo večera je bilo, da je v budizmu tako, da tisto, kar govorijo, dejansko tudi počnejo, prakticirajo učitelji in da je to neka kvaliteta. Ampak kako pristopiti potem k takim stvarem, kot so bolj neotipljive stvari, katerih mogoče še ne razumemo, pa ne vemo, kako jim bi pristopali v kontekstu budističnega treninga. Če gre tukaj tudi za provizorično učenje, ampak Rinpoče odgovarja, da pri vseh teh učenjih gre za to, da je to metoda. In to je treba razumeti, da je tudi provizorično učenje so način, kako jeti naprej, kako trenirati na poti. In to velja za vsa učenja. In če jih uporabimo na pravilen način, potem pač dobimo rezultat, ki ga želimo. In seveda pa to ne pomeni, da je vsaka metoda primerna za vsakogar. Ampak dokler razumemo, da gre tukaj za metode, potem ni nobene potrebe, da bi se tukaj porajali kot še koli dvom.
Okay.